Good morning, Atlanta. It is September 25th, 2013. I'm Dana Barrett, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We've got Miss Tilly and Andrea Sharp here from Every Woman Works. How are you doing, ladies?
Wonderful.
And it's such a privilege to be here. Thank you so much for sharing your radio audience with us.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. Of course, before we launch into Every Woman Works and all the stuff you guys have going on, I need to thank our sponsor, Central Atlanta Progress. You can find out more about everything going on in the downtown area by going to their website, which is atlantadowntown.com, as well as World Trade Center Atlanta, which is at WTCAtlanta.com. So both great organizations, and we thank them for partnering with us. It's been a good week so far. We're at Wednesday, halfway through, right? Today is Wednesday, right?
Yes. All day.
You know, can you just hang around with me all the time? Seriously?
Do you know that commercial with Campbell?
Yes.
I love that commercial.
I love that commercial.
Yes.
So lots of stuff going on. Very busy. We had a great show yesterday, the Results Matter show. We had the NABO women on, which is the National Association of Women Business Owners, and some great conversation in and around women starting their own businesses, growing their businesses, using social media to get some traction. We talked a little bit about Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, which was pretty interesting. And so if you haven't had a chance to listen to that show, you can go to resultsmatterradio.businessradiox.com and take a listen to that. And we may even touch on some of those topics here today. It's like all Women Week. I love it.
Great.
Wonderful.
Great.
It wasn't on purpose.
It's about time.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
I like it. It feels right.
Yes.
So let's talk about Every Woman Works. So, Miss Tilly, let's start with you. I know you had kind of a strong and long career in corporate America before you got into this nonprofit side of the world. Yeah. So give me a little bit of your background.
Well, I spent about 36 years in corporate, working for the largest telecommunication company in the world. And after about 36 years, you start to feel as if you wanted to do something to make a difference. You want to leave a legacy, so to speak. And so I had read the book, Purpose-Driven Life, and I wanted to find out what's my purpose. And I knew that I'd been successful and that I had changed some lives, but a significant a number, I didn't feel that way. So I prayed about it and asked, hey, God, what's my purpose? What's my reason for being? And I don't know if it was like an epiphany or what, our vision, but it came to me that with all of my experiences and background, that my purpose was to help women who were dependent, whether it was on a man that was abusive, a system, whether it was the government welfare, or maybe an organization, to help them to move from dependency to self-sufficiency. And I was shown that I had been equipped with the knowledge, the principles, and the experiences to make that happen. So in 2004, I asked, who are these women? And I was shown women who were in their addiction, whether drugs, alcohol. I was also shown ex-offenders, women who were in abusive situations, women who were on welfare. And you know what, Dana? I didn't know any of those women. I lived in Roswell, Alpharetta area.
I was actually going to say, now, one of the things I think that scares a lot of people about getting involved in the lives of people that you're describing is, they're so different from me. You know, maybe they will hurt me. Maybe they will not like me. Maybe they will make fun of me. Who knows? But that somehow they're just so different. And you obviously had that experience at Roswell, Alpharetta. You're not really running across too many addicts.
I was looking for, where are these women that I am to serve? And because I had my blinders on, I didn't see them.
Yeah.
They were there, but I did not see them.
Yeah.
And I had an opportunity to work with Lucy Hall, who owns one of the largest recovery centers in Atlanta. She called me. And she said that I heard that if I wanted to take my organization to the next level, that you are the quintessential person to help make that happen. And I said to her, well, what organization is this? And she says, it's Mary Hall Freedom House. I says, well, what do you do? She says, I'm the largest recovery center in Atlanta. And all of a sudden, a light went on. You know, she served women who are at that time was addicted to alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
And she wanted to take her organization to the next level, which means you have to be accredited.
Yeah.
And that's a process that I knew a lot about. So I had a chance to work with her clients, because as part of that process, you have to put in place a quality improvement process.
Yeah.
You have to ask your customers every now and then, are the services that I'm providing meeting your needs?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to have all of her clients in one room to ask them questions like, what's your drug of choice? And how did you become addicted? Were your father and mother's users? And you know what I found? I found something very impactful that kind of changed my paradigm, if you would, about women who are addicted. They do not say, I think I'm going to get high and drink alcohol because it's going to make me feel good and it's a good thing to do. Do you know, I found that so many things happen to them as a little girl.
Interesting.
That they use the drug and alcohol to anesthetize the pain.
Oh, yeah.
To forget that experience. And so now that I do what I do, I know that we have to get to the root cause of the problem. And just teaching skills is not the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to start working on the inside out, helping them to start feeling good about themselves, whatever caused them not to feel their self-worth, or not to feel that they are important. Whatever that source, you have to have them to get in touch with that. And, you know, I don't know any other way to do that that's why we're faith-based.
I'm glad you ended with that sentence, because I was going to say, and I was thinking about this before you ladies came in, and I was thinking, do I dare ask this? But you know what? I'm going to. You are clearly faith-based.
Yes. Yes.
And it's, you know, a very specific faith.
Yes.
In Jesus.
Yes.
And do you find that is... I mean, obviously it's right for you and for a lot of women that come into the organization, but is it right for everyone?
But let me say this. I'm glad you asked that question, because we have women that come in from other denominations.
Sure.
Right. And so the interesting thing is that you need to accept everybody believe in God, except maybe atheists,
right,
or agnostics. Right. So they believe in God. So they don't have to embrace our belief system. They just have to believe that there's a greater power out there to help them other than themselves. So we do not pressure people to embrace our religion. We show people how they need to believe in some power greater than themselves.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I do find that interesting. And it is one of those things. And I'm not somebody who knows a lot about recovery.
Yes.
I know what I see in the movies and on television. And, you know, I know that there are obviously Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes, yes.
Also, you know,
exactly,
you turn it over to a
higher power.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
So it's interesting for me. I mean, I'm not Christian. I'm happen to be Jewish.
Yes.
And,
we've had several people of Jewish descent to
attend. And I find your energy really wonderful.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not, I don't find it, you know, a put off for
Thank
me
you.
At all.
Thank you.
I actually really enjoy it. I mean, I was, as you know, you guys know, but our listening audience doesn't. I was, you know, in your facility for your hour of power in the morning. And I wish I could start every day like that, mm-hmm, with singing and dancing. And, you know, I mean, at first I sort of felt shy, and then I was like, this is really great.
I saw you.
I can't help it. I was reading something the other day. I'm going to go off on a tangent, but I was reading something the other day that there's a variety of different personality tests. And one of the tests was, if you're the kind of person that can't sit still when there's music playing, like that actually means something. I don't know what it means, but it actually means something about who you are. And that is completely me.
Yeah.
If you put music on, I am like bebopping around the room.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very, good and positive and all of that. But I just wondered if you get sort of some resistance sometimes from some of the women coming in saying, well, you know what? I'm not a believer.
We push that our number one culture belief is God and family first. Mm-hmm. So when we focus on family, it's about loving another person until she can learn to love herself.
Yeah.
So if we are so set on pushing your belief system off on another person, that won't work. Yeah. You have to meet them where they are, wherever that is,
yeah.
and then help to bring them to where we want them to go. And that's to be spiritual.
Right.
That is that anything you can have, anything that you want in this world is going to cost you, and you need to be willing to pay. And it starts up here in the mind.
Yeah. Well, the other interesting thing to me, too, is that, and this is something that you can't see on the radio, but part of what you guys do, in addition to, you know, speaking about your beliefs, is your huggers.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And hand holders.
Yes.
And, you know, there's something very important and spiritual and uplifting and human about touching other people.
Yes. Yes.
And if you live in a place where no one touches
yes.
you, that can really isolate you.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
And cause you to go yes. back to that alcohol.
Yes.
Or to feel like giving
yes.
up
that
or whatever.
Isolation. Yes.
I know I have gone
through. It's been proven. It's been proven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And I want to say that love that we share transcends no matter what faith you are. Everyone needs love.
Yeah.
Everyone understands that language.
The
and so that
word.
Allows us. Yes.
Sing it, woman. Sing it.
Go ahead, be silly.
I love it. She had a pretty voice, too.
Yeah, she
Go
does.
Girl.
So, you know, regardless of what faith you come by, everybody understands that faith is centered around love.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's an important part of it. If someone listening is in need of help and is thinking, oh, you know, I don't want to go to some religious organization, you have to understand that it is more about the love than about, you know, sitting
yes.
in a religious service.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
No. So you, getting back to your path a little bit.
Okay.
So you did some investigation, you met with some people and you said, okay, I can do this. And how did you go from an idea to an actual organization with other people involved and clients and all of that?
Well, first I have to just let you know that my background for 20 some odd years was in education and training.
Okay.
And so I have been conditioned to teach principles if you want people to change their lives.
Yeah.
Because principles are self-evident, they're universal, and they're timeless. And if you apply universal principles to your life, you can change your life. So change your mind, change your thinking, change your life. So I knew it would work. But what I needed to test was the fact that I was dealing in corporate America with successful people to a great degree. And here were people who were down and out,
yeah.
totally dependent on something or someone for their food, for their shelter, right, and for clothing. And so Maslow says that, yes, we have to meet people's the hierarchy of needs. Those things have to be taken care of before you start talking to me about my spirituality, talking to me about my health and wellness and what have you. So I knew that we had to take care of the basics. But after the basics, there's this whole idea of self-worth. So every woman works then based on how the vision that I was given is to work with the whole woman, not just the mental are even dressing for success to dress me up on the outside, but yet I am not confident and self-assured on the inside. So we wanted to start from the inside out. So let me just back up. There were other things that I used to help me to do that. First off, it was the whole idea about the fish. You know, if you give a woman a fish, you feed her for a day. And that's what most organizations that are dependent, to keep people dependent, they give you a fish and they feed you for a day. But I was told that I was to teach women how to fish so I could, you know, they could learn to feed themselves.
Right.
And women, you know, and I know that if you would help them to teach them, then they will also help teach their children and the community.
Yeah.
So change a woman and you can change a community.
Right. That's not true with men.
No, you know why? Let me tell you why. Because if you teach a man to fish, he goes fishing.
Yeah. Gets a six pack, out he goes. You never see him again. You know, maybe he comes home with a fish, maybe
yes.
he doesn't.
Teach a woman to fish and she's going to take someone with her.
Right.
And whatever she's learned about this new learned skill,
yes.
she's going to try to teach someone
it
else.
It is funny. I think that's a very interesting point about women in general. I think we are, by nature, we're sharers and talkers.
Yes.
And if we like something, you know, we will tell everybody about it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. If it works for us, then we want to share it with you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So you do the skills side of it. You do the how to dress. You do. I know you have a closet with clothes for people to have interview clothing and things like that. You do the resume skills. You do all those things. But you also.
There's another component about the wholeness piece. Mm-hmm. And I love, and I don't, I'm not selling it, right? But Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because we all need to feel that we matter.
Yeah.
And we all need to feel that we make a difference. And sometimes if you've been in abusive relationships or you've been in relationships, you're made to feel that you don't have much worth.
Yeah.
So that's where, that's the premise that we start with. And that's what Hour of Empowerment is about, helping the women that we serve to feel empowered. Number one, we stop calling them girls.
Yeah.
Yes, and we start calling them ladies or women.
Yeah.
And number one, we give them choices. We let them know that if you don't want to be here, I don't care who sent you here, whether it's DFACS or Mary Hall, and you feel like you didn't have a choice because a system that was taking care of you sent you here. But now that you are here, you have a choice to make this worth your time and to take away something that's going to help not only to change your life, but to change the lives of your children for generations to come.
You know, when I was there, I recall, and I think it was the first week for some of the people, and looking around the room and seeing a lot of differences in the women. Some of them were like feeling it. They were up and they were singing and they were happy and they were holding hands and they were, and there were a couple other women that were sitting down and sort of looking down and they weren't quite sure of this whole thing yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me kind of explain to you what I now know after 10 years of being in this ministry.
Yeah.
When women come to us, they come with these big bags.
Yeah.
Of stuff. And in we find that first in the bag maybe defects, and defects told them that you got to come.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's that I am now clean and sober and I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay clean and sober when I go back into
the real world.
Sure. Or maybe I have been in an abusive situation and I'm prone because I've done it before to go back into that situation. So there's so much stuff in their baggage. There's not a lot of self-worth. There's not a lot of belief that I can make it. So they come with all of this baggage. And what we find that we have to do, because we have baggage too, right? Right. My staff, you know, they have problems, they have concerns. But what we have to do is put our baggage aside and we have to put on this toolkit. And what we found to be effective is that we have to start, first off, we have to reach out and let them know that we understand how they feel about being told that you have to be somewhere.
Yeah.
That no one really likes to be dependent.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good because when you are dependent on someone, they can tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
Yeah.
So I let them know we understand that you do not like being dependent, that you really want to learn how to move from dependency to independence, and we can teach you how to do that. But in order to do that, you got to let go of some belief systems about yourself and about where you are now.
And I think, isn't it also true that there's a level sometimes of distrust when they walk in the door?
Of course.
Because there have been people before who have looked them in the eye and said, I love you, and then swatted them.
Yes.
You know, or let them down, or you know, didn't do what they said they were going to do, and all that. So here you guys are saying, no, we're there for you, we love you, and they're going like, yeah, right.
Yes.
So that's what you see.
Yes.
And so I can tell you, though, interesting, after about a week, a transformation take place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I know they say to themselves, because they've given us the feedback, these women can't fake this love stuff and
not
this
every
good
day,
morning
not, yeah.
stuff
no.
every day and all day. And I know there are some days I've come in here with an attitude and just told them how I felt, and they still loved me.
Yeah.
They were firm, but they still cared for me. And they still helped me to understand that they wanted me to be successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to add this other caveat audience that we serve. There are the women who have been, like Miss Silly said, have been working in the professional world, just working, and all of a sudden they've been on a job for 10 to 15 years, and that job no longer exists. And so they find themselves in this new employment status where before they used to fill out an application, they used to go to the job. Now they have to go on a computer.
Yeah.
And a lot of them may not be computer literate.
Yeah.
So it's just a whole new world that they have to embrace.
Sure.
And so that is a learning curve for them. They have to face all the fears and challenges of that. But even when they get out there, the techniques of finding a job is totally different than it was when they were actually out there 10 or 15 years ago. So that's a whole new sector of women, mm-hmm, who have skills, who have degrees, who have many skill sets that can go work in any corporate America, but they found themselves in a place that they're not accustomed to, and they just need a little help and a little encouragement on embracing this new process and teaching them how to go out in the employment world and find a job in this new method.
Yeah, and also, you know, we talked about this a little before we came on the air, you know, hopefully times are changing a little bit for the positive right now, but we just went through a number of years,
yes,
where 6 months,
yes,
out of work was not uncommon. A year and a half.
Yes.
And as you get older,
yes,
even harder.
Yes.
And if you were in a position, let's say, that was, you know, maybe not super high paying, you,
mm-hmm,
know, so you were just kind of paycheck to paycheck,
yeah,
you can end up homeless pretty quickly.
Very quickly.
But there, you know, I don't want to get into this, but there's a psychology of it all.
Yes.
We often define ourselves by our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am my job. And then all of a sudden I'm laid off and I no longer have this job. That talking about eroding your self-esteem.
Absolutely.
And your whole comfort zone,
absolutely,
you know, is you have to deal with. So they too come. You see a look on their faces. And sometimes that look to me is that they just kind of given up hope. Because,
yes,
by the time they come to us, they have tried everything that they possibly could try.
Mm-hmm.
And homelessness has a different face. And they look around and they don't want us to categorize them, mm-hmm, as being on welfare or being addict or,
yes,
you know, I am homeless because I lost a job and I did not have that much savings and I spent all my savings and now I'm living in a homeless facility until I can do better.
And on top of that, you know, us ladies, when we were born, we had mothers and fathers. We had a great support system. We had people who were actually there teaching us and developing us on how to become women. These ladies, the audience that we primarily deal with, these young ladies have not had that support system. They've not had women to pour into their life. They've been out there latchkey
mentor
kids. They've been on their own,
mm-hmm,
completely. So they're just out there like wet fish.
Yeah.
So with that being said, that brings to the attitude that, no, you're not going to help me. Nobody else has helped me. Why would you do it?
Right.
You know, so it's like she says, after a week, and they say, like, this is consistent. These people are, you know, no matter what I give them, they still give me back love. So maybe this is real.
Yeah.
And so then we begin to see the wheels in their mind just begin to turn.
Yeah.
And so with that, then the confidence, and we continue to build them up, and they start learning the old mindset really doesn't work for where they want to go, and they get some comprehension and understanding, so that kind of fuels them along with the love and the encouragement.
So, Andrea, I want to jump ship a little bit and talk about your background and how you got involved with the organization. So give me a little bit of that.
Yes, I work for the organization that Miss Tilly worked for, but we never knew each other.
Okay.
I already served in ministry and serving women and counseling and developing them and mentoring them, but God gave me in prayer that that I was going to work with women and that I would have a transition home. And when he started describing the audience, it was like, Miss Tilly, I was like, okay, so where are these people? Because at church, you know, people traditionally are not, or you don't see that obviously, coming from those different backgrounds. So when he first told me, I'm like, okay, you know, I hear you, but I don't know how this is going to take place. So in the process of time, I was at church and I was working and serving with another young lady who, Miss Wachella Williams, who is a part of our staff, and she was coming to speak at their organization. And she had been invited by another church member of mine, Jennifer. Now, I didn't know where Jennifer worked. I had no idea, no clue of what she was doing. But yet, we were in a class together. So that evolved to where I came and I went to the organization. I was like, wow. When I went to the first hour of power, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I begin to see that audience that God has shared with me many years ago. And so with that being said, I volunteered. I found out about they were having a conference, and I volunteered to be one of their table monitors. And what that meant was for a full week, you were there from 8 to 4:30. You were at a table, and you served women whatever their needs were for that full week. Whatever the challenge was for them, you helped them develop over that and encourage them through that. So that experience was phenomenal. And so at the end of that experience, I was like, wow, this is phenomenal. And then the Lord said, okay, so now I want you to go volunteer.
Yeah, go sign up.
Go sign up. So I went to volunteer, and with that volunteering, you know, Miss Tilly and I got a chance to really get to know each other a little more intimately, and she began to see my heart was there and that I really had a passion for what they were doing.
Skills that we needed for the job coach.
Yes.
You have to, with the women, you got to be firm,
yes,
but you also have to show that you love them, but you have to be firm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let me, can I tell you about the story of the bumblebee?
Sure.
Because I think that Andrea, yeah, is an excellent example.
And I have to say again, because it's radio and no one can see you guys, that they dress in black and yellow every day. And I don't know where you guys find, because I know when I am out looking for a particular color, I can never find what I'm looking for. But you guys have the most amazing assortment of black and yellow outfits I've ever seen. So please tell us about the bumblebee.
Well, let me just tell you about the black and yellow. When you're looking for something, your reticular activating system start to work, and you're walking down through the airport, and you see this shop, and you see this scarf that's bright yellow. So you walk over there, and while you're there, you see some yellow earrings. So that's how it happens.
Because you have your mind.
We
on
have
it.
Your mind, and if you know were thinking about it, you would see a lot of yellow.
That's funny.
Also, and from now on, when you see it, get it for me and I'll pay you,
yeah,
back.
Done. Okay, done.
Because it is difficult to,
yeah,
find.
Yeah.
But talking about the yellow and the black, that's indicative for the bumblebee. And initially it was the butterfly that's my symbol, because I do believe that when our lives are changed, we also are changed. It's a metamorphosis that takes place. We're no longer just crawling around, you know, on the ground like the caterpillar, but we change into a beautiful butterfly. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe that whole metamorphosis. But that was not the symbol that God gave me. It was the bumblebee. So in researching and having taught classes where you have to motivate and inspire people,
yes,
I had heard the story of the bumblebee and working with scientists and physicists in a technical environment, they explained it to me that aerodynamically, the bumblebee should not be able to fly because her body is so big and her wings are much too small. But no one told her that she could not fly. And because of that, she flies.
Yeah.
And not only that, she makes honey.
Yeah.
And so I think that what has happened with a lot of the women that we've served, mm-hmm, they've been told what they cannot do,
yes,
which is a lie.
Yeah.
And we have to help them to see that it is a lie, that no longer allow someone else to write a script for you.
Yeah.
If you don't like the program that someone else have written for you, mm-hmm, you can change the program, rewrite the program, rewrite the script. So therefore, our theme song, I Believe,
yeah,
I Could Fly,
yeah,
you know, and we use, you know, R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Touch the Sky.
Yes.
I think about it, yeah, every night and day, you know, and I just believe that one of these days I could just fly away.
Yeah.
You know, I see myself, mm-hmm, walking through that open door to a world of abundance, you know, to a world of a career. Mm-hmm. I see a life much better for myself and for my children, mm-hmm, for generations to come.
And what's so interesting, too, is that, you know, as someone who's been around a couple of years, you know, the first time you experience a success like that in something that someone told you could not do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's really amazing, because then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that you're sort of getting people to that first victory,
yes,
is really noteworthy.
Yes.
I want to shift gears a little bit because the other thing that you guys do that is really cool, I mean, aside from, you know, staying current with your music and keeping people dancing and whatever, is clearly you're embracing pop culture a little bit with the event you have coming up,
the
Stars Dancing event.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about this is the second year, right?
This is the second year.
So tell me a little bit about the event and give me the dates and give me the contact information so people listening can be a part of it.
Okay. So it's called Stars Dancing to Change Lives. And it's a fundraising event. It's a fundraising event that we have at the Concourse Athletic Center over in Sandy Springs. It's going to be Saturday, October the 5th, about 6 to 9:30. Now, this event it started off as a fundraiser. And you know the Dancing with Stars show that you see on TV?
Of course.
Where it's that same format, except these dancers are raising money to help change women's lives. So when we had it last year, it was our first year. We were getting our feet wet, and it turned out to be a huge success. We not only raised money, but we had a ball. So that was a win-win for everybody involved. So when we did that, then we started getting calls. Say, okay, are you going to have that again? when is it starting again? So at that point, we realized, okay, this is something we want to keep that momentum that we've already started. So this year, we're having it on that day. We have eight or nine celebrity dancers. You can go to our website at www.starsdancingtochangelives.org, and you can look and you can see pictures from last year. You can see the new dancers. You can see a video clip of them actually doing their dance and sharing why they're doing it for Every Woman Works. And it is an explosive, wonderful experience. You want to elaborate a little bit more, Ms. Tilly?
I'm just excited about the amateurs. They started out taking dance lessons, and they are excited about dancing, and they have family members and their company peers and associates, and also the companies that they work for are sponsoring them. So it's just has become a huge success. So I am so excited, because in order to change lives, you definitely need the funding to make that happen.
Well, and it's cute is the wrong word, but it's a really cool and fun and hip way to get people involved.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, you know, if I'm going to be out there on stage, I'm going to have all my friends and family come in, so it makes total sense. And
the family get a chance to vote for them.
Yeah.
You know, half the dance couple dance on Dance with the Stars, the judges.
Yes.
We have judges. Except the judges encourage the people to vote for them by signing a check or by swiping a card. Because if you are there, you want your person to win.
Yes. Of course.
Yes.
And so it's all for a good cause, which is awesome. Yeah. And it's a really fun thing. And even for people who don't know any of the people that are dancing, it's still like you're getting to go watch a show.
And they're good.
Yeah,
they've had lessons with professional dancers. I can tell you that some of these folks are good.
Yeah, they are.
I think I told you guys this at one point, but my mom does ballroom dancing.
Okay,
and
so
she's a I cannot say how old she is because she would absolutely have my head on a platter, but she was ballroom dancing quite a bit, and she lives in Florida, and her teacher was part of a similar event. So I went down, and she didn't participate, but we supported. And so we went down and watched. They did a similar event in Florida, I think for an AIDS charity. And it was so much fun. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun to be a part of. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having experienced an event like that, I can
well,
definitely.
Well, do you dance?
Poorly. I dance poorly.
Well, see, I was going to ask her to dance and be one of our dancers next year.
Maybe next year.
You never know.
Yes. Like,
may I just say another thing about the focus? Each year when you do an event, you need to have kind of like a theme.
Yeah.
Well, Dana, it breaks my heart even when I think about this, but this year we have served 15 homeless veterans.
Wow.
Women who have served our country.
Yeah.
And because of, you know, the post-traumatic syndrome and because of whatever reason, which is a multiplicity of reasons.
Sure.
They end up homeless and with their children in a facility for homeless veterans. And so we've served 15. So for this fundraiser, we decided that we would honor them. Mm-hmm. So this event is an honor. And the theme that I wanted to share is that they were strong for us,
let us be strong for them. So we will have a table for all of the women that have gone through Every Woman Works, the homeless veterans, now have jobs, honey, some of them making $15 to $30 an hour.
Yes.
See, because, see, they have skills,
right,
but they need to learn how to transfer those skills from the military into civilian life, and those are the things that we help them to do. But there's also that issue that I keep telling you about. There's some things that are broken in people that our job skills will not fix. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I think that at Every Woman Works, we've been given the key to how to make that happen.
Yeah.
So that when she get that job, then she is a whole person. Well, anyway, we're honoring the women veteran at this event. So I'm excited about that. We're going to have a table for them.
So they'll be
there. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, it's amazing that you should say that. At any event, we have testimonies and testimonials from women who've gone through our program and how they've been helped.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, over the years, we have women who've have been an addict and sold their children, and then they get their children back. And now they're living in a house in Alpharetta. They have three children. Those children are now in college or have graduated. So we have the success stories, and we have quite a few.
Yeah.
Can I just give you some stats at this time?
Please.
We have served in the last 10 years, we've served over 1,200 women.
Wow.
And the women that we serve are single women, meaning a single family, but they have children. And the average would be three children per woman.
Wow.
Because some have seven, eight, believe it or not.
Wow.
And some may have one or two. Mm-hmm. And so that means that we have served over 3,000 children also, because when we help to improve the quality of life for the mother, well, we have impacted the children. And we also have services for them. So I don't want to get off track here, but I had a point that I was going to make, and I've lost it.
Well, you were talking about the statistics, so
yeah.
So I know. So it was 1,200 served.
Yes, and all the statistics. Thank you, darling.
I'm there for you.
I wanted to let you know that when people graduate from our program,
yeah,
85 to 95% of the women secure employment.
Yes.
But that's not the part that I love. It's that they retain it.
Yes.
I was actually,
yes.
I'm so glad you said
yes.
that, because
yes.
I did want, I know when I was at the facility, that was one of the things you
yes.
talked about. It's not enough
yes.
to get the job.
Yes.
I know you talked
it.
About anger management
yes.
skills.
Yes.
Anger management.
Fear.
Overcoming your fears.
Seven habits
of highly effective people.
Yeah.
Our parenting.
Yes.
I mean,
obeying.
Oh, listen,
financial.
money
on.
Is a trigger
yes,
for so
yes,
many
yes.
of us.
Yes.
And so for some of us, if you put money in my hand, I go and spend it on maybe whatever my addiction is, mm-hmm. happen to be, right?
Shoes,
clothes,
shopping,
whatever. So that's one of the things that we work with financial institutions. The banks come and they give us grants, but they also have people to come and make presentations about budgeting.
Yes, yes.
And they also make it possible for our women to have automatic deposits. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about, I would say that the job readiness skill is 1/4 of
yeah.
our program. The other 3/4 is health and wellness. You got to stay well, you and your children,
yes.
if you are to keep a job.
Yes.
Because the first 90-day probation period, you cannot call in sick or say my baby is sick. It's not that they don't, the employer doesn't care about you and your baby, but they got a job to do.
Right.
And when they hire you, you make a commitment that I will be there and I'll be there on time. So Every Woman Works for that 8-week period is a boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
We treat it as
exactly.
if they are, it's a job.
Mm-hmm.
The way they dress, the way they come in on time. If you're calling in and say, I'm not going to be there today, that's not acceptable, you know.
Yeah.
So we get them in a habit of being on time and being there, mm-hmm. to come up with some alternatives that once you start work, you cannot be calling in and saying, I won't be able to make it. So 85% of the women that get the secure employment keeps the jobs. And there's another thing.
it's not about a job. We try to talk to them about a career.
Yeah.
Because in today's environment, what is the 725 is the, who can make it off of 725, you know?
Please.
So we have to, they have to aspire to do more. And we're also pushing entrepreneurship,
yes,
you know?
Are. We could do a whole other show.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
I mean, I think it's so interesting too, because you talked at the beginning of the interview about sort of basic needs,
yes,
and how you can't really talk to somebody about being passionate about,
yes,
a career if they can't, if they don't have food on
thank
the table.
You.
Thank
right?
you.
Thank you.
But then
a clothes.
Or
yes.
clothes.
Or shelter.
Correct.
Thank you. Go.
All right. Yes.
But then when you get to the career part,
yes,
right, I think there's a mentality of, well, I just need a job. I need any job because I need to make some money so I can have food, shelter, clothing.
Exactly.
But the reality is to have a job that you will keep,
yes,
and excel at,
right, yes,
you need to be and passionate
grow
about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. And grow it.
And grow yes. it, yes.
And so that's why when we do the plan for them, we do strength assessments. We do Myers-Briggs.
Right.
We want them to find out what it is that they enjoy doing.
Right.
So even if, Dana, they have to take an interest level job, that they'll be in a profession that they enjoy,
right,
working with people or not or what have you,
right,
and therefore we teach them how to perform at a level that you can get promoted or that you are. We also talk to them about going back to school.
Yes.
And most organizations love to train people to be outstanding performers or employers.
Yeah, and
you know?
I can say, as someone who's changed careers a number of times, that I have gone in and done the dirty work that
yes.
nobody wants mm-hmm. to do.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
But it's been, you know, and I've done it recently.
Yeah.
I've done
mm-hmm.
it in my 40s.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's in the field I want to be in.
Yes.
So I'm seeing
yes.
where I could go.
Yes.
And I'm meeting people that could help me get there.
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
I think you also have to kind of, and I'm sure this is not a huge issue for these women because they've already been humbled by
yes.
everybody else.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
But you have to remain a humble, I
yes,
think.
Yes, you do.
You
yeah.
can't have this, I'm yeah. too good for this
right.
mentality.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but I think our biggest challenge is to help to increase that self-esteem.
Absolutely.
That you are not defined by what you do.
Right.
You know, you're defined by your character.
Yes.
You know, yes.
So that's a lesson for women,
yeah.
No matter where they are in life.
Exactly.
And when you were saying that, you know, once you, it's an amazing thing when you have a goal and you actually meet it, it's like, wow. And so just imagine once they meet that goal, then everything becomes possible.
Right.
Right. And then there's no limit at that point. So their life is just transformed forever.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. I want to make sure we do some contact information. So if
sure.
any, well, first of all, let's be clear.
Okay.
There are people that need your services.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes.
And there are people who probably have some money or some time that they could volunteer or give. So for all of those people, they can find you at the website?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Our website is www.everywomanworks.org. Again, that's everywomanworks with an S .org. And our contact number is 770-998-3392. Again, that's 770-998-3392. And at that point, you can let us know that you're interested in becoming a part of our curriculum and our program. We'll take your name. There's an interview process, and we'll just start from there.
And you know what else I want to point out for people is you guys are located in Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Springs.
Well, sort of right on the border, right?
Yeah,
like,
it
right
is.
There.
Yeah, it
started
is.
Out in Roswell.
Yes.
Okay, so you're right there kind of on the border of Roswell
yes.
and Sandy Springs.
Yes.
So for people who are wanting to volunteer, whatever, if you're thinking, like when I first met you guys 2 years ago, I guess mm-hmm. it is now a year and a half, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, they must be downtown somewhere. But they're not. So
no.
if you're sitting around, you're listening to the show, and you're in North Atlanta somewhere mm-hmm. in the burbs, this is very well located for you.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and it's a beautiful campus.
Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, whether you're a client
right.
or somebody who wants to come and volunteer, you know, there's parking. It's easy to get to.
Yes.
Right.
All that. There's a bus stop
yes.
right nearby.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Easy shopping, easy access. And we are always looking for volunteers
yes.
because we have, you know, God has blessed us with, like Ms. Tilly says, a wonderful staff, but we wear so many hats. So we would love to have volunteers that would come and assist us. You know, we always are, as people are asking, how can we make a difference? What can we do? Believe me, if you call us, we can help you with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Dana, I have to say this. I have to put a plug in. I think that having a mentor
to help. Yes. I've been trained by the best, and one of the things that, you know, I don't know if it's appropriate, but my chairman of my board was Kay Evans, and she was the owner of a Keller Williams Realty for the Southeast region, and they've number one. And one of the things that she taught me is that to create the ambience in the facilities as if we got money, mm-hmm. and that people need to know that 85 cents of every dollar that we collect goes to the program, because we don't need to use their money for the facility, because the people like her and the people on my board make sure that those things are taken care of. So the money that we raise, we are able to directly support the women.
And it's
so
funny, because that's sort of an analogy for what women have to do as well, right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
you have to present yourself
exactly
in an interview as if you are already successful.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Fake it till you make it, ladies.
Exactly. And that's another thing that we get the young women to push back on. Miss Tilly, you want us to wear a suit to this interview? Well, if I get this job, I may end up wearing some denim and a t-shirt. Yes, but we want you to walk in looking as if you can run the place, own the place, manage the place. That's who they want to hire. Yes.
You know, it's so funny. I owned a book. I lived in Roswell, actually, for a long time as well, and I owned a bookstore in Roswell for a number of years, and I would occasionally get a kid that would wander in off the street looking for a job in, like, ratty t-shirt and jeans with holes and flip-flops, and I would be like,
yes,
really? We can't even
for
put
her
on
to
a polo
come and teach
shirt?
The women,
come on.
Yes.
But yeah, it's we. Like I said, I know we could go on forever, because there's just so many things to talk about when you're talking about it, because it's a long process.
Yes,
and there are little details like that that a lot of times people just don't think about.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Especially sometimes the younger women don't. They don't, like, I think a little bit older, we were sort of raised, you know, in a different time period where you put on pantyhose, you know, not anymore.
Well, listen, and also we don't want them to show their breasts.
Right.
Tattoos. And we don't want, and no tattoos, taking your nose ring and your eye piercing out.
Yes.
And they go, why do I have to do that? So they don't understand that whole thing about perception.
Right.
That people's perceptions are the truth. So it may not, you know, and so that you need to influence the perception based on how you look.
Yeah.
Because you only have 10 seconds,
right,
to make an impression.
Absolutely.
And if you can't do it in 10 seconds, you might as well forget it. Yeah. I think they kind of get that because we do role modeling.
Yes.
We have someone to walk in with tights and a thing wrapped around their head, mm-hmm. chewing gum and shaking that fish handshake, right? So we're very demonstrative. So we have them to demonstrate that. And then we have someone walking in with a little two-piece suit and their little pumps, pearl earrings, mm-hmm. their hair nice and neat, and they go, yeah, we get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We get it.
I love it.
Picture's worth a thousand
and
words.
And once again, I would like to point out that that's something that everyone probably use, not just the women in your facility. Yeah. It's funny because I've actually been thinking about putting together a talk like that for executives.
Well, great.
When people put their pictures on LinkedIn and it's like, looks like a mugshot, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to rethink that? I don't know. All right. So the website is everywomanworks.org.
Yes.
And the one for the event is starsdancingtochangelives.org.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that event is October 5th.
Yes.
Tickets still available.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, please.
So everybody sign up, join up, volunteer, give your money. And if you need services, by all means, get in touch with these lovely ladies.
Well, when they go to that website, we're kind of in the 21st century now.
Yeah.
They can click on PayPal to donate, or they can click on to purchase tickets right there online.
Absolutely.
And they can go to the Facebook and see live testimonials from students. You can kind of peek in our environment and kind of see what's happening there. So we also have Facebook, and that's Every Woman Works Incorporated, and you see our Bumblebee logo.
Okay.
Oh, Dana, you know what? I wanted to tell you about being in Roswell, Alpharetta.
Yeah.
You know, at first we were concerned about the commute that some of the women that we serve are from South Fulton.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
And we were concerned that they have to get on two buses and a MARTA to get there. But now we find that we see the world as we are and not as it is.
Yeah.
So the world in South Fulton looks so much different than the world in North Fulton.
Yeah.
And so we love it now when they come and they want to move after they get a job to a better school system, mm-hmm. to where their children are not exposed to drugs and that profanity. And the other thing is that I don't want my volunteers to be afraid to come to a place where they don't feel safe.
Right.
Correct.
So that's another thing. When you know, when you walk yes. into the building, you embrace with so much love, and my staff and also our students, to kind of show you how you can serve. So I think that that's important.
You know, I think that's a really interesting point when you're talking about the location, because you know, I remember reading something, or maybe it was a guest we had on one of the shows, talking about kids mm-hmm. who grow up in a certain kind
yes,
of neighborhood,
yes.
and they don't even really understand that there are alternatives.
Thank yes. you.
That the world is a bigger place.
I yes. wish I'd said that. That's yes. exactly what I'm yes. referring to.
Yeah, and I'm quite
to.
Sure that there are a lot of yes. these women who have the same experience.
Exactly.
There's a part of the world that they live in,
yes.
you know, where it looks a certain way,
yes.
and it,
yes.
you know, it's kept up a certain way. And when they come out and see
yes.
this beautiful, clean, neat facility with, you know, a nice parking lot and a safe place to be and a nice
yes.
grocery store across the street and whatever, mm-hmm. they go, oh,
yes,
I could have this.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
And then you go, hey, look, you know what? There's an apartment complex a block
a
away.
A block
yes.
away.
That's affordable.
That costs the
yes.
same amount that you're currently paying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really, really
yeah.
great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that's why I said when I first met you guys, I just assumed you were downtown
yeah.
because there would be people in South Fulton who would whatever.
Yes.
But the reality of where you is, of where you are, mm-hmm. I think is so extraordinary.
Yes.
And I think it elevates
it does.
The organization.
It does.
Yes. It help them to do the vision board.
And also helps embrace that paradigm shift that they're experiencing.
Absolutely. That I can be a part of a different
yes.
world.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I need to wrap this up, though. I feel like I could have you guys on for the whole day.
You know, when you said it was going to take 30 minutes,
yeah,
I'm
now
going,
we're
what are
like,
we going to talk about for 30
yeah,
minutes?
We're like up close to
but
an hour now.
But that's because you're incredible, too. You
yes,
know,
you are, Dana.
I mean,
thank you.
You know, you noticed my passion surfaced, mm-hmm. and I got so passionate about, you know, the ministry and helping women. So thank you again for the opportunity
yes.
to share,
yes.
to share about our organization. We are the best kept secret.
You guys are.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, I met Wychella and Andrea a year and a half ago, I think, at an event for the first time, and then again this year, and we connected right away.
We did.
We bonded.
Yes.
So
was that when Every Woman Works was the...
Yeah, it was. 101 Best and Brightest Companies to Work For. Yeah,
okay.
We were nominated
yeah.
for the second year. And you know what attracted her?
What?
Was that yellow and black.
Of course. I was like, look at you.
She did. She
yeah.
started talking
so,
to her.
So, yeah. So, I'm very happy to help get you guys some
well,
thank
publicity
you.
And,
yes.
I, you know, wish you continued success yeah. and I look forward to the event on October 5th
yeah.
and we will be back next week with more Good Morning Atlanta.
All
I
right.
of course need to again thank our sponsors, Central Atlanta Progress and World Trade Center Atlanta, and we hope you have a wonderful uplifting week.
Yes,
yes.
The Week of Women and
yes.
We'll see you next time.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a magnificent
yes.
Absolutely.